2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, made him what? Sin. Made him sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday! We're so glad that you're tuning in as we begin a new week of Bible study. Pastor Bill's series from the Epistle of 1 John continues this week, and today he teaches the message, God is love. Now, Pastor Bill.
You know, the section that we're in this morning is without a doubt, actually verses 7 through 12, but we're going to verse 16. They're not only the best known text or scriptures in 1 John, they are the most loved. And Robert Law, a great theologian, he said this about the scriptures we're going to cover this morning. He says about 7 through 12, even though we're going to 16, he says about that in particular. He says, brief as the paragraph is, it is the loftiest that man has ever been inspired to put down in writing. Boy, there's no doubt about that. How can anyone, the title of the sermon is, of course, God is love. How can we really teach that? You know what I'm saying? We would not know love if it had not been for God. Amen? He revealed himself, who he is, to us. You know, John is the last apostle that had been with the Lord in the flesh. All the other apostles now, they have been martyred. And John, he loves the Lord Jesus, man. I mean, it's just so wonderful. And he uses that word love 46 times in 1 John. Matter of fact, he's going to, this morning, as we look over our text, he, as I just read, you can see that he's introducing love one more time, and he's doing it for the very last time. You know, Jerome, tradition says, and I believe it to be true, about Jerome, what he said, because he knew the Apostle John personally. Let me read what he said about John. He says, you know, when the Apostle John, when he became so sick or infirm that he could no longer preach, he was carried to church and content himself with the exhortation. Here's what he said. They'd bring him in on a stretcher. He'd go, little children, love one another. And when the hearers finally, they wearied of him saying this over and over, they asked him why he urged this duty so much and so constantly upon them. And John said, because it's the Lord's command, and if only this be done, in other words, loving one another, John says, it is enough. Amen. What a great word, beginning in verse 7 this morning. He says, divinely loved ones, he said, are beloved. Let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So at least 13 times in the New Testament, and I could be off maybe a couple of times. I don't know. I count very quickly, and sometimes I forget what I counted, okay? But at least 13 times in the New Testament, we are commanded to love one another. And literally, it would read, we are commanded habitually, continuously to love one another. And you know, there's many different words for love, and one of them is eros, and that's a sensual or sexual love. That's just get what you can while you can, you know what I mean? And that's not in the Word of God. And then there's phileo, which is that give and take love. That's our brotherly love. And then, of course, there's agape. Agape love, which it comes from God, is always all give. It's unconditional love, it's uncaused love, and it's not based upon the performance of someone. It is just simply you love because God is love. Amen? So with all of that being said this morning, when it says their love is of God, it simply means that God is the source or the origin of love, and it's also something else. God's love in us, when we are walking in that, is an evidence that you, me, anyone who names the name of Jesus, that we are truly born from above. So it says everyone who loves is what? Born of God. And that's the evidence of the new birth. 2 Peter 1:4 tells us that we can love one another. Why? Because we are partakers of the or his divine nature. We already covered love so much in 1 John. We know that Romans 5:5, it says, now this hope does not disappoint, for the love of God has been poured out or poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. Amen? So all of God's love resides right here in each of our hearts this morning. Matter of fact, it's a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now listen, only the agape of God, that supernatural love that comes from God the Father, from heaven, to those who ask Jesus to be their Lord. It's only found in those who are born from above, born of God. So God is our Father. Man, I'm so thankful that we've been redeemed. Amen. That we're forgiven, we're adopted, we're sealed. And matter of fact, when I just read that verse 7, it means that God, our Father, he says we're born of God. That means God is our Father forever, eternally. We don't have to worry about it because we've been adopted. We've been sealed with the Spirit until the very day of redemption. Amen? So we belong to Him. So God is our Father forever. And it says in Romans 8:39, and there nothing shall be able to separate us from God our Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Nothing will ever be able to separate us. Now, then it says, everyone who is born of God in verse 7, it says something else. Not only are they born of God, but they know God, gnosko again. We know God, our Father, experientially. We know Him intimately. We know Him personally because we are born from above. Amen? Now, if we are born again, and we are, then God's children must do something because it's a command to love one another. Amen? Okay, so we reflect His love. And here's the problem. Do Christians, do we love one another perfectly? No. Do we love others perfectly? But we should. Now, let me paraphrase what I'm saying. It means, when we think about that, it means that to love one another is the lifestyle of a Christian, isn't it? Okay? Now, that love has to be present. If it's not present, then that person is not born again. Okay, so it has to be present in us, and it is, but it also has to be a growing love. In other words, if you're born again, say this is your first year, and then you're 15 or 5 years later, don't you think you should be walking and growing in love more than you were the first year? Okay, that's called sanctification. Remember 2 Corinthians 3:18, that's where we are going. We're being transformed into the very image of Christ. We're going from glory to glory by the work of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Now, and so we start learning how to love in a greater way. And we want to, because the more that the Spirit controls our life, more of His love pours out. Amen? And that's what we need to remember. Now, it's one thing to learn to love one another. Well, we can do so because God says we can. We can love one another. You know why? How about the one who is working in us right now? Philippians 1:6, for example. It says, we can be confident of this, that He who began a good work in us will what? He'll complete it until the very day of Christ Jesus, to the very end. He's working on you right now. Philippians 2:12, let us work out our own salvation, with fear and trembling. Why? Well, because it is God who worketh in you to do what is pleasing in His sight. Amen? He's working in you right now. I think that we can love other people if God, our Father, is working in our hearts. Now, a stranger to love, if you call yourself a Christian and you are a stranger to love, well, then you are a stranger to God. You don't know the Lord because God is love. Amen? Look at verse 8. He who does not love does not know God. Why? Well, for God is love. Man, that word literally means this individual that doesn't walk in a lifestyle of agape, it means he's never even experienced God. He never knew Him. He has no personal relationship with Him at all, no matter what comes out of that person's mouth. Love is the identifying mark of a believer. Amen? Now, agape then, again, is that true test that a person knows God. Now, let's clarify something. How about unbelievers? Do they love? Yeah, they do. There are unbelievers that love their families with all their hearts. Amen? Now, and they would die for their family. Come on. Yeah. But here, what's the difference then, Bill? Well, the difference is that love that they have is not agape. It's the love that was a result of the fall. It's natural love, okay? And natural love is a beautiful thing. It's natural love, but it's also unconditional love. In other words, if you're going to do this, and I'll love you more, right? Come on. But our love is totally different than the world's. Man, our love comes directly from God Himself, man. And listen, and that's only possible. You can't get this love unless you're born from above. God is love. Have you ever noticed, just if you go through the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the New Testament writers, have you ever noticed that they don't argue that about the fact that God is? I mean, it's like, God is. They take it as fact. They're not trying to argue it or prove it. You ever notice that? In Genesis 1:1, what does it say? This is the very first book of the Bible. In the beginning, God. And that was it. Who are you? Well, in the beginning, God. Well, when was the beginning? I don't know. No one knows, because there never was a beginning. Amen? Was there ever a beginning with God? No, God has no beginning. He has no ending. He's God. He is eternal. Now, in the beginning, God, what did He do? He created the heavens and the earth. Now, did you know that God, what did He just do? God, He didn't say, I'm going to prove who I am. God revealed Himself through creation, didn't He? And who penned Genesis? It was Moses, right? Let me ask you a question. Was Moses a scientist? Well, scientists think they know everything. No, Moses, did Moses know anything about how the stars were made and how, did he know anything about creation? Nothing. Yet he had to pen it. He penned it, but he did it by the power of the Holy Spirit, didn't he? Now, if God had not revealed to Moses and to us through His word what happened in creation, no one would ever know. Amen? Do you believe the creation story? I do. You see, if you can't trust Genesis 1:1, how can you trust John 3:16? How can you trust our scripture right here this morning when it says in verse 8 that it says, God is love? You see, I believe the whole Bible, don't you? Yes. Amen. So our Father, He is love. God is love. And did you know that if you study the religions of the world, you know, and that could be a waste of time for some people, but I'm not into that very much. But if you did, you know what you would find? You would find that Christianity is the only religion that sets forth as a supreme being as one who is love. Did you know that? There are religions that tell if you don't belong to us, we're going to kill you. That's not love. Amen? Or if you convert from this religion to Christianity, you're going to die. Is that love? No, that's not love, loved one. How about atheism? Atheism denies that there's even a God. In other words, you're not loved by anybody. You better just make it on your own. Listen, God is love. And God, He always dwells in the total atmosphere of love because He is love. And everything, believe it or not, God has been accused of so many things, but everything that God does, He does in love. That's who He is. That's His nature. Everything. God, He can't even exist without loving because God is love. That means that love, the agape, His love, can never be absent from His being. For God is love. If God creates, He creates in love. If God rules, He rules in love. If God corrects the children of God, He corrects in love. Thank God for that. Amen. So everything He does, you know, if God judges, does He judge in love? Yes, but He hates sin, doesn't He? He hates it so much He sent our Lord to die for it. Now, this means that all of God's activities, loved one, are loving activities, again, because God is love. And God's love is unconditional. It is uncaused. In other words, you cannot do anything, whether you are a Christian or an unbeliever, no matter where you're from, no matter how old or young you are, no matter who you are, you cannot do one thing to make God love you any more than he already does. Well, Bill, I prayed 3 hours this morning. He loves me. No, that's not why he loves you. I've never missed a church service. I even come on Wednesdays early and stay late after everybody's gone. Well, praise the Lord, but that doesn't mean God loves you. Do you understand? God loves you. God loves every, do you follow me? And the reason is because God is love. I read a great story by Spurgeon. He was talking to visiting a farmer. And of course, there out in the fields on the barn and all that, he had a weather vane on his house. And you know what a weather vane is, right? So when the wind blows, remember, does it turn? Okay. On the weather vane, though, he had in that metal weather vane the words, God is love. And so Spurgeon asked him, that farmer, said, why would you do that? I mean, doesn't that kind of weird to put, you know, why? And the farmer looked at Spurgeon and said, listen, the reason I put God is love up there is because no matter which way the wind blows, no matter what's happening in any day of my life, no matter what blows through my life, no matter what I'm facing every day of my life, God is love and God loves me. Amen? Maybe we ought to put a weather vane on our house. Amen? I'm serious. And so what a great story. Now look here in verse 9 and 10. I want you to catch this. In verse 9 now, God's love is manifested or was manifested through the incarnation, okay? The birth of Christ, God became flesh. And in verse 10, you're going to see God's love was proven by the propitiation or the word atonement, okay? So let's look at verse 9 together. In this, or literally, this is how the love of God was manifested toward whom? Toward us, amen. That God has sent his only begotten or his only unique one of a kind. There's no one like Jesus, his only begotten son. And look where he sent him, into the world, the reason that we might live through him. So the love of God was manifested. That word means to make visible. It means to make, bring it out in the open or make it public. And he did so by sending his son into the world. Now, I don't know about you, but babies are born, they're not sent. I mean, whenever you had a child, if you have children, were they sent to you? No, they were, you know. But Jesus, he left heaven, amen, willingly, and came and was born of a virgin. He is the God-man. So he sent his only son, meaning if he sent him from heaven, that means that Jesus has always been. He is the pre-existent son of the living God. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. Amen? Jesus is God, and he is God in the flesh. How did God do that? How did he manifest it? The incarnation. So Jesus is God's gift to everybody, to the entire world, because it says the object of his love, look at it. It says, look at the scripture again. He sent his only begotten son into the what? The world. The world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, okay? Now, isn't it amazing that Jesus, our Lord, he came into a world that he created, but there wasn't any room for his love. You know, remember, he left heaven and was born in a feed trough. That's pretty rotten. You know what I mean? But there was no room for him. So John 1:10 says Jesus came to his own, but his own received him not. In other words, they didn't want Jesus. The only thing they wanted to do with our Lord, you know the scriptures, is to have him dead. And they finally did. But I want you to look now, back in verse 9, the purpose of his birth, the purpose when he was manifested, the incarnation, watch this. It says that we might what? Live through him. How much does God love you? If we might live through him, that means we're not living unless we're living through him. It means that we don't really have true life unless we're living through him. Amen? Now, just think about that, that you might live through him. He sent Jesus to die on this planet, to die, but we're going to live through him. What did Jesus say in John 10:10? I have come that you might have life. And he tells us what kind of life. He says, and have life more abundantly. Now, God not only sent Jesus so that we live through him, but that we might also do something else, Christian, that we might live for him. Let me give you the scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ compels us. Now, Paul is writing that. He's not talking about his love for the Lord. It's talking about his love, God's love for him, okay? The love of Christ compels us because we judge thus. If one died for all, then all died. And he died for all. Why? Well, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for him. To live for Jesus who died for them and rose again. Listen, Jesus died for all mankind, didn't he? Christ died for all, not some. Not some, for all. The idea of the limited atonement, I think personally, this is what I hold, the limited atonement meaning Jesus only died for the ones that are going to be saved, or that God has already chosen, everybody else is going to hell. You know what I'm talking about. No, listen, that's slanderous against the love of God. Do you know that? That's slanderous, it's horrible. No, Jesus, it says Christ died for all. Did you know that John 3:16 is a universal invitation? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever what? Believes. The word believes is what activates John 3:16. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, loved one. Man, listen, he died for us all. Look there at verse 14 with me. I'm going to read it later, but look at it again. Verse 14, where's it at? And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son as Savior of the what? The world. Not just some in the world, but all the people of the world. But you have to come to him. You have to confess him. You have to say, Lord, save me. So when it says all died, then Christ died, and then we died too, it means that when Jesus died and took our place on the cross, he died for us. He took our place. Amen? No wonder, what did Paul say in Galatians, what was it, 2:20? He says, I have been crucified with Christ. When he died, I died. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live it, but Christ liveth in me. Amen? And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen? And we're to do the exact same thing. Listen, is there anyone or anything worth living for more than Jesus? No. So we not only live through him, we not only live for him. Let me give you one more thing. We also, one day, we're going to live with him. Amen? Let me give you the scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 and 10. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but what did he appoint us to? But to obtain salvation. In other words, to be rescued from the wrath that's coming upon this planet, meaning by the rapture, okay? It says to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, one day we're going to meet him right in the air, amen? And listen what's going to happen. Who died for us, whether we wake or whether we sleep, we should live together with him. That means we're going to be with him forever and ever and ever. So it says the love of God was manifested. He sent his son. Why? Number one, that we might live through him. Number two, we might live for him. Number three, that we might live with him forever. And boy, listen, when his life is in us, do we walk in a newness of life? Yes, we do, loved one. And if we don't have his life, matter of fact, look at verse 12 of chapter 5. Let's go to 11, 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony that God has given us, thank God, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. The only way to have eternal life is to be in Christ, amen? And he to be in you. Now look at it again, where am I at? It says eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Verse 12, he who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son does not have life. Listen, Jesus himself, he told us in what, John 14:6, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one can go to the Father, no one can make it without me.
Well, we're all out of time today, but there's much more to this message, and we hope you'll tune in tomorrow for the conclusion. Thanks for listening with us, and we hope you have a wonderful day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.